welcome to the Tech Forward Show. I'm excited to be with you guys today. We've got a lot of great information to cover with you. Just some of the headlines I want to cover today. Not even mothers are safe in Islam. An Islamic State militant carried out a public execution of his own mother because she asked him to leave the group, the activists are saying. Another article, two teenage girls were gang raped by four Syrian nationals in southern Germany. Surprise, surprise. Top Gun, why nothing else comes close to Russia's Vulcan missile. The purpose of this dreadful system is to allow Russian submarines and missile cruisers to engage aircraft carrier strike groups from safe ranges. I disagree with that. Nothing comes close to our space-based platform weapons. Then another one, a spiritual battle in the midst of the great battles that rage around us. We forget that this is, above all, a spiritual war, and spiritual wars are fought with spiritual weapons. That's absolutely true. CNN calls for Obama to declare a national state of emergency to gut the Second Amendment. Police in Norway proclaim, Oslo is lost. We are witnessing the wholesale collapse of Europe due to self-destructive decisions and a lack of any will to defend the homeland. This is the same plan that's underway to destroy the United States of America. And then there's another one that says impeachment zeitgeist is exploding. So, you know, all of this stuff is happening to us as we speak and going on around us as we speak. But we have to understand, this is an orchestrated event that's designed to destroy the United States. This has been going on for quite a while because the United States basically created a giant problem for the globalists when we had a real constitution and we had real money, because they couldn't control us, because they couldn't buy us, because they couldn't put us into debt. And it's the debt slavery that's allowed them to come in and create all of this nonsense around us and to do what they've done. As we speak right now, the Dow Jones is down a little bit, minus 46. The NASDAQ's down 6.40. Gold has been pretty flat, around $1,100 an ounce, which means it is up a little bit. It did go up to about 1110 for a little while, and that's back down to about 1102. It has come up from 1180. The Japanese stock market and the Chinese stock market, it had another okay day. The Nike was down 69 points. The Chinese market actually came up about 195 points due to massive intervention by the central bank there. And Europe was in the red all the way across. The DAX was down 130, FTSE down 41. So it's been an interesting year so far, Austin. We've had a lot of stuff going on. But we had a little talk yesterday, and we were talking about what was going on with the gay, and transgender movement. And I've got to share something with the listeners that I really haven't covered in detail on this show before. I've covered it on Hagman's show, but I want to do it on this show a little bit, because a lot of you are new to my broadcast and you don't really understand what my version of all of this is. Back in 1975, I was in undergraduate school at Florida State University. And yes, I really am that old. I'm 60, so thank you for thinking I'm younger. Just thought I'd mention that. And I think I was 20 years old. And I was in undergraduate school at Florida State University, and I had a professor called Dr. Wiese. He was a German immigrant who had been crippled by polio around 1930, and he was old. He's probably in his late 60s at that point. And he was teaching a class called embryology, in which we learned about different cellular stage development for the embryo. And we had to go in there, we had to memorize all these embryo slides. It was really an arduous course to take, very difficult. But I remember one time in class, he was talking about how delicate the fetus was when it was in utero. And he said that basically you had to be very, very careful with a child that was being developed, and you had to make sure that you didn't have exogenous sources of hormones introduced into the mother's diet or to the water supply or anything during pregnancy. And he said what happens is when you put female hormones into a child that's being developed, you know, in utero, is what it's called, inside the uterus, that child then starts to create feminine tendencies if it's a boy. With women, it can cause all kinds of other problems with fibroid tumors, etc. But if you have a little boy and his mother's exposed to exogenous female estrogens while she's pregnant to him, like if she's eating meat that has female growth hormones, drinking milk that has female growth hormones, or she's using soy products, which is almost all female growth hormones, all estrogen pretty much. It's a horrible, horrible product. Nobody should ever use soy. It's not all estrogen. It has some protein in it, but it has phytoestrogens in it in a high concentration that mimic the body's own estrogen production. So the body sees it and thinks it is an estrogen. If you do this, this boy, when it goes through the secondary sex characteristics, what happens is this. All infants are born or are conceived female. People don't understand that. And then during the gestational process, while this embryo is being formed, this child gets different hormones from his mother, which causes different cellular differentiation. For instance, that the ovaries become the testicles, the clitoris becomes the penis. That's how it works. It's all from hormones. And so when you have the wrong hormones going into the diet while a person is pregnant, it interferes with these secondary sex characteristics. So what ends up happening is the boy's born with very small genitalia, very small, like, you know, like a tiny, tiny little penis, like the size of, you know, maybe a little bit bigger than a clitoris. The testicles don't develop properly. I mean, the whole thing just turns into a giant disaster when you introduce exogenous estrogen into these females when they're pregnant. Now, here's the problem. These children who are born because of this, or who are given soy formula when they're born, even if they were developed normally inside of the uterus, the soy formula is so high in estrogen, it causes a permanent brain change. A male has a left brain dominant hemisphere in most cases. When a male is exposed to large amounts of estrogen in utero, that brain dominance changes from a left brain to a right brain dominant hemisphere for that of a woman. If a little boy is born with a left brain dominant hemisphere and that little boy is given soy formula, in many cases, that little boy will develop a right brain dominated hemisphere because of that. And so what happens is they start mimicking female tendencies. They want to go shopping. They want to look at they're just always, they start acting like girls because their brain is that of a female. Now, this happens very often with soy formula. And so here's the problem that I have with this entire lesbian, gay, transgender movement, is that somebody needs to be taking a look at the globalists that are allowing these compounds to be put into the food supply that are doing this to pregnant women, and begin to realize that just maybe these children didn't ask to be chemically castrated in utero, which is what it is. It's a chemical castration from the hormones. So we have to, as Christians, realize that a lot of these guys were actually born this way because of what the mother ate. That's why it's so important, and Austin was talking about how important it is for his wife, Lana, who's pregnant, to avoid all of the chemicals and all the GMO foods. That little baby Brower who's being built right now inside of Atlanta, every time she ever tries to or try to eat a few of the GMO foods throughout this pregnancy, she just throw up. I mean, baby Brower does not like GMO foods. And so, and Austin will tell you, it's true, isn't it, Austin?
Oh, yeah, it was rough.
I mean, also, he wants organic everything, okay? Because I guess, I don't know, maybe he has some kind of innate intelligence in which he basically doesn't want. Now, I'm not using the word innate intelligence as a New Age term. God, don't start on me again, okay? I'm saying he's probably smart. Okay, we'll leave it at that. But the point is, we've got to think about how we treat these gays who are chemically castrated. I mean, what would have happened if it happened to you or your son or your cousin or your uncle or somebody else and they didn't have a choice in the matter? They were forced to be this way. They were forced to be feminized against their own wishes without any input. See, that's the problem as Christians that we've run into now. We know that the Romans is very clear, and the Old Testament, Leviticus and Deuteronomy, is very clear. So I believe we've got to pray for these guys. We've got to be understanding with them if this happened to them. We've got to tell them there's a better way. We've got to lead them to Jesus Christ. And we need to try to, you know, to encourage them through love to get out of that lifestyle. Because if you don't do that, if you get all militant with them, then they get all militant. And so now you got all these militant groups all fighting each other, and it's no good. That's not what Christians were called to do. I'm diametrically opposed to that lifestyle before anybody wonders how I feel about it, because, you know, I'm Christian. I am. But the problem is, you got to think about what happened to them. And you got to have a little bit of mercy on them, and you have to have a little bit of understanding on them. And you have to just have some compassion on them, and you have to realize, hey, look, guys, you know, we're going to pray for you, we'll invite you to church and stuff. But see, the biggest problem is they may have gone to a church one time, and some Christian may have been in the church, and they start calling them names, you know, as far as, you know, a dirty so-and-so or a dirty so-and-so. And then they all get angry about Christianity. That's not what Jesus called us to do, guys. Jesus called us to love one another. God loves all of these people as much as he loves us. Now, God doesn't like everybody, but God understands, though, what happens when someone gets chemically castrated in utero. So I don't understand how all of that's going to shake out, but I'm not going to start judging people. I'm just going to pray for them, ask them to church, and try to witness to them about the love of Christ and how there's a different way to live than these folks are living, because it's going to get worse and worse and worse because of the amount of hormones that are being pumped into the food supply now, Austin. But I wanted to clarify that yesterday, because we talked a little bit about that, and I'll be honest with you. Some of the best musicians some of the best actors in Hollywood, some of the best professors in colleges. A lot of them have very feminine tendencies. And the reality is, I don't know if they're gay or not, but they're pretty good at what they do. So let's not try to judge everybody. Let God do the judging. Let's just go out and just have peace and joy. And if the righteousness, peace, and joy from the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and let's not go into this big kicking campaign. I know, you know, it's just not necessary to get judgmental and start judging one another. Now, I remember years ago, a good friend of mine, I've done many seminars with him. His name was Jim Rohn, R-O-H-N. In fact, he's got some great YouTube videos on personal development that you guys can listen to. He and myself and Zig Ziglar, and we were all on the seminar circuit back in the 90s. And I did some huge seminars, 30,000-40,000 people in attendance in stadiums. I was there with President Bush and Barbara Bush and Colin Powell and Schwarzkopf and all the rest of them. And if I had known what I know now, I probably would have asked them too many questions and I probably would have gotten kicked off the seminar circuit. But Jim Rohn said something to me one time, and I was talking to him, and he reiterated it, and we talked about it on the audio tapes, and I've listened to him many times. So a lot of the blending of the conversations with him and his audio tapes and his CDs have all kind of blended together in my mind. But here's one comment that he made to me a long, long time ago. He said, you have to think about intent, and you have to think about a lack of judgment. And I said, I thought, what is he talking about like that? He goes, let me give you an example. He goes, if somebody is being stupid, and they've got a real sharp knife, and they're throwing it up in the air and catching it, or they're being reckless with it, and they throw it up in the air, and they're not watching what they do, and you're sitting there, and the thing lands and stabs you in the leg. That was a judgment error. That was stupid on their part. They did something they shouldn't have done because they were being stupid, not because they intended to do it. He goes, now, he says, you can forgive that and forget about that. Just make sure they don't ever handle knives around you, right? But just you can forget about it and forgive them completely for it. But, he said, if a person walks up to you and you're sitting there watching TV and they take a knife and they plunge it into your leg just to see how it would feel, you know, and then they go, oh, I'm sorry I did that. Oh, I'm sorry I did that, okay? I'm sorry I caused all this pain on you. Okay, the problem with that is that was not a judgment error. That was intentional. That was a mistake of intent. It wasn't even an error. They did it on purpose. So then they go, oh, please forgive me for stabbing you in the leg with this knife. Well, you can forgive them, but let me give you some advice. You better not forget. Okay? You better not forget, because if you forget, they've already proven to you they have within their behavioral repertoire or their ability to do things, the ability to do that, to go in and stab you in the leg. That's the biggest problems that people have with politicians, is that we don't remember what they've done. We forget they've stabbed us in the back. We forget they've stabbed us in the leg. We forget they've done all of these things, and they voted all these different ways. If you really want to know what a candidate believes, you've got to ask them to see their voting records. And I've done that before with candidates we've had in Central Florida, and they refused to give me their voting records. Refused. We will not give you that. You'll have to look that up. I said, so your voting record is so bad that you don't want us to do that. We're not going to give you our voting record, period. And I remember we had a candidate here who represented Polk County years ago up in Tallahassee, and they refused to give me their voting record. And I thought to myself, okay. Well, I started going and looking at the voting record. It's all gun control, gun control, gun control, gun control. All this crazy stuff up in the state legislature, which is diametrically opposed to where we live. But they didn't want anybody to know that. See, these are not judgment errors. These are intents. This is what they're doing with their heart. The same thing with Obama. There's a movie that came out years ago, and it's called Open Range with Kevin Costner. It's not a real good movie, but it's okay. It's an action-adventure Western movie. And he's in this town, and this sheriff and these people tell him about all the things that might happen and what's happened to other people. And when he leaves the town, he's up on the cattle range, and he says, if you listen closely to what people say, they'll tell you what their intent is. They'll tell you what they're going to do. They'll tell you what their plans are, whether they admit to them or not, or even if they deny them, they'll tell you what they are. They say, this guy's going to try to come up here and try to kill us, and that's exactly what happened. Obama said yesterday, again, my intent is not to take away your guns. I'm not trying to take away your guns. I don't want to seize all of your weapons. Now, what did he just tell you guys his intent was? To take away your guns and to seize all your weapons. He didn't say, I'm going to protect the Second Amendment. He didn't say that. My intent is not to take away your guns. He's telling you what his intent is. Subliminally, that's what they're doing. Because these guys, because of this white magic voodoo, got to tell you what they're going to do to you before they do it. Otherwise, the karma, quote, on the other side, as far as what they believe, is going to be so bad. Oh my gosh, I used the word karma. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. The intentions of that, Austin. I mean, karma is one of those words that can be used on the New Age. Okay, here's what karma means. The law of sowing and reaping, as a man wrote, so shall he reap. If you reap good, you get good back. If you reap bad, you get bad back. See, that's the problem when I get chastised for using certain words correctly, but people want to take them in a New Age context. So thank you guys so much for listening and not doing that to me, because 99% of my listening audience has been in approval and has sent me all these wonderful, wonderful emails. So remember, if I make a mistake, it's not intentional. I'm not trying to do that. It was just a judgment error on my part if I don't use the word right. But as far as using words like karma, everybody knows what that means. Don't make that a New Age word. Don't let them steal the word away from us. I remember years ago, Austin, we were listening to Dr. Mark Rutland, who's a very dear friend of mine. He used to be the president of Southeastern University, and then he was the president of Oral Roberts University. And I heard him preach one time at Family Worship Center in Lakeland, and he was doing a whole service on all these different words that we use. And he goes back, and he goes, because, you know, Mark's almost 70 years old, he goes, you know, back in the 50s, we used the word gay, and it meant happy, frivolous, exciting times when we were gay. You know, now we put on our gay apparel, like the Christmas song goes. He goes, they've hijacked the word gay. They've taken it away. Now it means homosexual. He goes, I want the word gay back. Do you remember him doing that, Austin?
Yeah.
He goes, I want gay back. I want to be able to use that word again. And I started laughing at him. See, we have to realize that we have to look at intent and judgment errors, and we have to look at the heart. Very, very important. So when Obama tells you he doesn't plan on taking the guns, he's planning on taking the guns. That's pretty much, and I hope he doesn't get a chance to do that with this mess that's going on in Oregon. Austin, what's your first story, buddy?
Yeah, definitely. The Oregon situation still hasn't been resolved yet. Apparently, they're going to stay up there for a while. There has been some other report now that I've read that says that apparently they have a Army Special Force unit that is basically deployed up there now, and they don't know as far as the situation's going to escalate further, if they're just going to, you know, sit there and stand down if the situation calms down. I don't know, but apparently from what Ammon Bundy said, essentially, is that he's planning on staying up there now for an extended period of time until his demands are met. So I'm not sure how it's going to play out, but it's definitely going to be interesting. You know, same thing you were talking about, though, as far as with intent. We're seeing exactly what's going on with that in Europe. We're seeing exactly what all these migrants' intentions are when they came over here. I mean, the multicultural insanity of the sexual violence by the migrants now is, it's mind-blowing. I can't even understand this. This just came in today, that police in the Australian capital of Vienna, Dad, you and I have been there before. I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful city.
The Austrian capital.
Mm-hmm. Yes, excuse me, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Vienna, yes, they're advising women now not to leave their homes without male accompanying. Authorities in Finland and Sweden on Friday also issued the exact same warning. They stated now that Sweden has told women to be aware of rape gangs. There's actually fully Muslim gangs now that they're referring to as rape gangs, from 10 to 20 to 30 men, and they're actually walking around, and as soon as they find any woman that is not with an accompanying man, they're automatically grabbing her, taking her down the alley, and basically gang raping her. Now, that's how severe it's gotten over there. There's already this year 150 cases of rape currently under investigation in five German cities. Police in Finland now have evidence that all these attacks now are becoming coordinated. These guys are basically bringing gangs together. And what's crazy to me is these guys are so inept that they actually, it shows you again that our cultures don't mesh. There's a comment on Twitter that was basically landed by this Muslim guy. Look at this photo here. And he states on here, and he's been eviscerated now, but this is what these guys really think. This is what he says, and I quote, "If a woman gets raped walking in public alone, then she herself is at fault. She is only seducing men by her presence. She should have stayed at home like a Muslim woman," end quote. That's what these guys truly believe, and that is why they're acting like this. They're showing us that they have absolutely no self-control over themselves at all, and they're slightly above the level of animals, that these men that are doing this. Slightly, and I mean that word very sincerely,
slightly above animals. And it's really irritating to me because I have family in Germany, as you know, Dad does. We're all, I mean, we have tons of relatives over here. And the fact that they're having to be exposed to this behavior now is just egregious to me. It's really, I don't even know what else to say about it, man. It's really frustrating that this is happening.
Well, when I was in Frankfurt, staying there at one of the hotels, I think it was we have all these little hotel points we get to stay free in, these really cool hotels. One of the guys, I told you the story already on the show, told us that Frankfurt had turned into the rape capital of Germany. So now Cologne's giving them a run, and so's Berlin, and now it's hitting Vienna. And the sad part about this is the guys who were telling me this, they were formal guys in the military who had stayed in Europe, and they told me that this is what's going on. And these guys, I mean, they listen to Alex Jones. He asked me, he said, "You know Alex Jones?" I said, "Yeah, I do." And I said, "I don't know him personally, but I've listened to him before." See, this is what's going on. I said, you know, we're realizing. And see, this is the thing. I'm gonna stop for just one second. This is why it's really important that all of us support one another, okay? And I'm not talking about buying vitamins from Health Masters. I mean, thank you for doing that. I appreciate you doing that. But I'm here. I'm not doing that. This isn't one of those little subtle. If I want you to buy vitamins from Health Masters, I'll say, you know, our website is healthmasters.com. We appreciate your support. Okay, that's okay with that. But what this is what I'm trying to make this point is we have to support each other spiritually. We have to support each other financially. I need you guys who listen to me on Hagman to go to his website. And you need to support him. He's about to quit his show. He's down in the ditch right now. And, I mean, his wife's been hospitalized. She's back out of the hospital now. The point is, you need to go there and give him $5 or give him $10 or give him $20 or give him whatever you want to give him. But give him something. At least give him positive prayers and encourage him with your emails and your texts or whatever you want to send him. But if everybody listening to this show right now just sent Tagman $5, $10, it would change everything for him from a cash flow standpoint. I mean, he never asked for money for himself. I've never heard him do that one time. But every time I'm on his show, I'm always encouraging everybody to contribute. Now, why do I do that? Why? Because I've learned something a long, long time ago. If a workman is not worth his wages, you need to hire somebody else. Hagman's worth his wages. This man is amazing. So is Steve Quayle. So is Paul McGuire. So is Dave Hodges. So is J.B. Wells. I mean, there's a group of us out here that are basically sticking our necks on the line and telling you guys the truth and trying to do our best to inform you. So please, everybody, today, go to HagmanandHagman.com, go to his website, go to PayPal, and just give him $5, give him $1, give him anything, for heaven's sakes. Just show him your support. He needs that desperately right now. Let me go ahead and go to another story. This is by Susan Dulcos, and this is the clock is ticking and it's going to get worse. And she's saying we need to act now. It says Dave from the X22 report offers excellent overview of what's going on in the economy. He highlights that the recent warnings from the UK of economic disaster on the horizon, with Britain's Treasury chief warns of a dangerous cocktail of new threats to the economy, before he points to Canada's ongoing decline and depression. See, Canada was being held together by tar sands and by oil, which cost them around $70 to $85 a barrel to produce. That whole thing has stopped, okay? Of course, oil's too cheap now. They're all going bankrupt up there. That big boom up there has stopped. He goes on to say, we hear that despite the unofficial unemployment rate continuing to decrease, initial jobless claims were trending upwards as those not in the labor force at all continue on at record highs. People not working in the United States are 94 million. 94 million. Have simply stopped looking for work for a variety of reasons, which manipulates the federal unemployment record. The actual number is over 20% of the actual people that have just given up. Then they go on to report that Macy's announcing the closure of 40 stores with an expected 4,800 layoffs. I mean, this is crazy what's going on. This is what we talked about on Sunday night in detail. So guys, listen to me. Just do your best to pay your bills off and get out of debt to the best of your ability, and just try to just do a house payment. If you can get your house paid off, work on that. But if you just pay off the little stuff and get it done first and use that extra money you paid off on the little stuff, you can pay on the bigger stuff and keep paying on the bigger stuff as you pay things off. Very, very important. Now, here's another article from Pam Martins that says, how did the U.S. stock market become so intertwined with China? And then goes on to say, unknown to most Americans, some of those shuttered stocks in the New York Stock Exchange when the market was closed last year were Chinese stocks, among the largest capitalized companies in the world. More than 100 Chinese companies trade on U.S. stock exchanges as American depository receipts, and almost 200 Chinese companies trade over the counter in the U.S.
Last year, Thomas Reuters estimated the market value of Chinese companies listed in just the New York Stock Exchange alone and NASDAQ were at $1.4 trillion. That's how China affects our stock market because they're all listed in there. Plus, remember to this, Chinese buyers spent $28 billion in the last 12 months of last year, ending in March of last year, in the U.S. housing market. They were buying condos, single-family homes, primarily in New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Miami. They're not doing that right now. They stopped. The market outflow from capital is stopping. The government's stopping it. And this is one of the big things that's fueled the housing industry here in Florida was Miami. And if this thing comes to a screeching halt again like it did in 2007, 2008, we're going to have another mess on our hands. What's your next story, Oz?
Yeah, next one now is, again, we're starting to get more and more positive feedback now from the non-GMO movement, PepsiCo, their Tropicana Pure Premium products, and four other PepsiCo brands will now be bearing the non-GMO Project Butterfly seal. The emblem will be starting to appear early next year. PepsiCo has been one of the biggest opponents of state efforts to require labels on such foods, but now they are stating consumers today have a desire for transparency from brands, and that desire is only going to increase. But the question is, are these guys really sincere about it, or is this just a publicity stunt? This shows back in 2013, the company spent close to $9 million to basically fight labeling of GMO foods. They spent another $11.4 million on lobbying against labeling at the federal level. So I don't know if they're sincere about this or if they finally decided that most people are requiring it. What's interesting now, too, is that Campbell's, the Campbell's, you know, chunky soup you hear about, mega food industry, Campbell's Soup Company, announced that it will become the first major food company to adopt food labels that will disclose GMO ingredients. The decision by Campbell to attach a GMO label to its products is undoubtedly motivated by the continually growing pressure from people for food companies to engage in food transparency. We're starting to see this over and over. Campbell's spokesperson stated Campbell's will be launching several lines of organic kid soups and removing MSG from all of their kid soups. They go on to say that we know that about 92% of Americans support GMO labeling, and transparency is a critical part of our purpose, and they're basically going to continue further along the line to make their products cleaner and healthier. Again, I don't know if either one of these companies are truly sincere about it or if this is just a publicity stunt, but I do like the fact that non-GMO labeling and non-GMO food is getting more exposure.
So do I, and the reason for that is it's an avalanche.
Yep.
People are so sick, Austin, with all these intestinal disorders because of the use of glyphosate and because of the use of GMOs and all of these problems with their intestines being inflamed, inflammatory bowel diseases and disorders that, you know, you remember a few years ago, I won't mention any names, I had some friends come on the back porch and the lady was like 23 years old and she was suffering from irritable bowel syndrome. And they were about to have to remove colitis, and they were about to have to take her colon out. 23 years old, had been suffering this since she was 8 years old. And I told her, I said, well, you've got to change your diet. I said, there's some things that you can do that'll give you temporary relief. I said, but you got to do them immediately. She said, you got to be kidding. I said, no. So I gave her bottles of stuff that works great for that. And she started using it. And I mean, within 2 or 3 days, she said her pain was gone by like 95%. And see, the whole thing about this is that all of these poisons and these GMOs and this glyphosate, guys, this stuff kills you, man. This is bad, okay? And you don't need to be putting in your body in any concentrations. And that's why I tell folks, you know, if you're going to go to a restaurant, go to places like Chipotle's that's going to be, you know, giving you non-GMO foods. I mean, it may not be organic, but at least it's non-GMO. And the truth about organic, I had somebody ask me a question about that a couple years ago, is this. If a product is labeled organic, you have to believe that the manufacturer knows that. There's no way to prove it because it's got to go all the way back to the seed source, to the soil source, to the fertilizer source, to the transport source, to the harvesting source, to everything. And so if anything breaks in that supply line or gets mixed with something else, you're not sure. So I told him, I said, well, I believe in the organic this, this, and this, but you don't know for sure unless you're completely controlling the production and you're raising it yourself in your own yard. That's the only way you'll know for sure that it's organic. So, but it's better to buy organic. At least you're attempting to do what's right. Here's another one.
Would Big Pharma kill to suppress a breakthrough cancer treatment? Wow, that's interesting. By now, it's fairly common knowledge that Big Pharma's business practices are far from scrupulous. they have scrupulous. They were forced to pay $11 billion in fines just between 2009 and 2012 for what the courts officially named criminal wrongdoing. They manipulate science, fund only the studies that benefit their biases, and cut corners wherever they can, thus putting our health at great risk by bringing unsafe products to market. This is an excellent article. You guys need to read it. In fact, Austin, I'm going to go ahead and get this one posted to our website also, and so people can read it. It's called There's no name on it, so it's "Would Big Pharma Kill to Suppress a Breakthrough Cancer Treatment?" And the answer is absolutely yes. I believe that's probably what happened to Dr. Gonzalez and Bradstreet last year when they were working on GCMAF. But there were a lot of other doctors that also died that weren't involved in their research, and I've made that clear with you guys. But Bradstreet and Gonzalez were definitely working with a compound called GCMAF, which I've talked about in detail. It's basically a globulin component protein-derived activating factor. That's what it means. And what it does, it activates the macrophages in the body and allows them to kill cancer cells and viruses. That's what it does. And this thing inhibits them. It's called Nagalase. And so I'll have this posted to you. I'll send it to you right now, son.
Yeah, send it to me right now, and I'll get it up on the website.
But yeah. Oh, by the way, I got a big kick out of this. You'll love this. Now they're putting out surveys and how scientists are determining if you can be labeled as a conspiracy theorist. I'm going to ask you guys a couple of these questions, okay? So if you start saying yes to these, you could be a conspiracy theorist, okay? Here, get ready. The government is involved in the murder of innocent citizens and or well-known public figures and keeps it a secret. Oh, Operation Gladio, Operation Condor, the Bay of Pigs. Oh, hey, let's do the Bay of Tonka. Oh, of course. I have to say yes on that one, Austin.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm already guilty on that one. The power, number two, the power held by heads of state is second to that of a small, unknown group who really control world politics. Oh, well, I'd have to believe that, too, because the bankers control the purse strings to the governments. And it's like Rothschild said, I care not who the president is. I only care that I control the money. By controlling the money, I control the country. That's a loose quote on what he said. Okay, number three.
Old Rothschild.
Oh, good old Rothschild. Number three. Secret organizations communicate with extraterrestrials but keep this fact from public. Okay, I'm a little bit iffy on that one. Okay, now I read The Day After Roswell by Colonel Corso, and I have seen lights in the sky, but I've never seen an extraterrestrial. But do I believe that a fallen angel or something like that could be possible today and be doing weird things? Yeah, I guess I kind of do, because the Bible says these angels are real. So I have to say that whether or not it's secret organizations, the CIA does a lot of that, supposedly. And they said that Kennedy died just a few days after he demanded that the CIA release information on what happened in Roswell. So I don't know. I don't know about that one. Number four, the spread of certain viruses and or disease is the result of deliberate concealed efforts of some organization. Well, I believe that some of them have been spread. I believe that has happened. I think that's been documented very, very well. I believe that the AIDS epidemic was created in a laboratory. I believe that the problems associated from Plum Island, you know, that we've had with Lyme disease, I believe that was something that we developed. But, you know, I'm not really believing that all diseases or all viruses are spread like that. I don't believe that. Groups of scientists manipulate, fabricate, or suppress evidence in order to deceive the public. Yes, I can prove that. They actually do that. The government permits or perpetrates acts of terrorism on its own soil, disguising its involvement. Oh, yeah. That's called a false flag. Okay, they have done that, and you know it just is what it is on all that. I mean, it just is what it is. Remember Kennedy? He vetoed the CIA from going in and blowing up airliners and killing a bunch of other people back in the '60s. He told them they would not do that. Of course, he was killed right after that. A small secret group of people is responsible for making all major world decisions, such as going to war. Oh, you mean like the Bilderbergers? Oh, I was not supposed to talk about those guys. Oh, how about Bohemian Grove? Oh, I didn't supposed to mention that either. I don't know if they're secret or not. Everybody kind of knows about them now. Okay, technology with mind control capacities used on people without their knowledge. That's not even classified anymore. We know that they can do that. New and advanced technology which would harm current industry is being suppressed. Oh, you mean like using Tesla energy devices instead of using coal and fuel and oil? Oh, yeah, I know that's true. Okay, the government uses people as patsies to hide its involvement in criminal activity. Oh, you mean like black ops? Oh, no one's ever heard of black ops or Blackwater, have they, Austin? and it was so funny is that all of these things are like, wow, okay. And here's another one. A lot of important information is deliberately concealed from the public about a self-interest. Well, we already know that's true. Here's another one. Some people believe the government did not tell us the entire truth about 9/11. Well, a bunch of the 9/11 report was redacted. I mean, we don't have to pretend like that's a conspiracy. You know, if you feel as though that Building 7 fell down with, other than by itself, you may be a conspiracy theorist. Building 7 did fall down and didn't have a plane hit it. I mean, what we have to realize is that nobody wants to talk about this stuff, and you and I kind of talk about it all the time because it's just the way it is. That's why our audience is growing so fast, because people finally realize that, you know, some of us are just going to tell the truth of what's going on, and we're not going to censor this nonsense. What's your next story?
Yeah, well, you're spot on with that. And what's so funny now is what they're doing is the term conspiracy theory came about in the 90s. They use that term now against anybody that comes up with a valid argument. So instead of being able to come back with a legitimate rebuttal, they just say, oh, no, that's a conspiracy theory. You're a conspiracy theorist. Instead of having any type of true debate about it, they just simply wash it away and say, no, that's a conspiracy theory.
I actually wrote on this, and here's when that happened. That happened back in the 60s after the JFK assassination. We had those.
Right, okay.
That happened back in the 60s, and the CIA started using that vernacular into the media and dismissing people as conspiracy theorists as nuts. And then they would bring these, and what they do, you always like this, they'll get somebody who has no credibility, completely inarticulate. CNN did this the other day. Some guy gave, he was a nice guy, I'm not picking on him, but he was out of New Hampshire, and he had given Donald Trump an AR-15, and he gave it to him as a gift, you know, because he believes in guns. And so they bring this guy on as a spokesperson, and he's a nice guy, but he can't articulate. He's a very poor speaker. But at least they brought him on. But the craziest thing is, what they do a lot of times, they'll go to some site where you've got a bunch of right-wing reactionary militants that are running around without shirts on, about half their teeth missing, and they'll interview one of them, and they can't string two intelligent words together, and they clump us all in with that group, saying, these are conspiracy theorists. That's how they do it. That's the psychops. That's what they do. So now, whenever somebody hears the word conspiracy theorist, they think about this person who was probably a staged plant, who probably had nothing, didn't know anything about anything, but they used them as the spokesperson who influenced the people's minds as to what a conspiracy theorist is. And that's what they do all of the time. It's just controlled psychological operations is all it is, because they want to make sure that anybody who said anything about the Warren Report and the Kennedy assassination, which was directly linked to the Bushes, it was directly linked to the mafia. It was directly linked to the CIA. It was directly linked to the banking cartel. All of that. And in fact, I mentioned this the other day. You can watch this video. JFK to 9/11, it's a rich man's trick. Watch the video. I'm not sure if he's unraveled the entire mystery, but doggone it, he makes some really good evidence and a lot of plausible explanations on a lot of stuff. JFK to 9/11, it's a rich man's trick. Millions of views. Phenomenal, phenomenal videos. Long, about 4 hours long. Do it in sections. But I tell you what, I watched it the first time all the way through because it entrenched me. I was so enthralled with it. And I thought, you've got to be kidding me. And he's naming names, naming places, naming dates, naming people, naming everything. He even tells you who the shooters are, what their names are. I mean, it's incredible. So watch the video. So you can go, what's your next story, Oz?
Another one, too, I wanted to go up on the GMOs that I had left out. You know, back in October of 14, they found that field of just completely unregulated GMO wheat that was discovered growing wildly up in Montana. The USDA had announced that. And at that point in time, no varieties of GMO wheat had been approved for cultivation in the United States. And then what's crazy now is that Monsanto has now developed on paper the GMO herbicide-resistant wheat now, and they're going to say this time around, the wheat will be resistant to three different chemical herbicides, glyphosate, glufosinate, and dicamba. And what's interesting is that this stuff, I mean, they just keep making it more and more and more toxic. The wheat just soaks in all this stuff, and yet they tell us it's healthy for us. And then what's funny is over 60 countries now have banned GMO crops. And after the Oregon GM wheat discovery, Japan and the entire Europe enacted serious barriers and restrictions on their import of wheat. And that was back in 2013 when an Oregon farmer found a whole field of Monsanto-ready wheat growing in a field unregulated, which is kind of odd how it just showed up there, you know, considering the fact that it wasn't approved back then. But it just goes to show you that they're definitely doing a lot of this stuff on the fly.
Well, no, it's exactly what they're doing. And then what happens with a lot of these farmers, Austin, is if they find any GMO wheat or corn inside of their own crops, they're sued for copyright infringement. They try to take the people's farms away.
Yep.
I mean, it's crazy. You know, here's another article. Fight back. German vigilante groups pledged to protect women and migrant sex assault cities. Oh, God, this is nice. This is out of Breitbart. Declaring one for all and all for one, the motto of Sweden, and a saying commonly associated with the Three Musketeers, the new Dusseldorf is watching group already has 2,300 members after it was launched on Facebook last night. That's fast. The group intends to provide protection at major events in city centers at weekends to ensure safety of their fellow Germans. Sad the governor's not doing this, reports the Rheinische Post. While this desire to protect Our Lady's future appears sincere, the group has already come under attack not only by police, who maintain law enforcement should remain their own responsibility, but by the press, who have labeled this group absurd and criticized it for including members of biker gangs. Well, here's the thing. Do I want to be protected by a biker gang member who's standing there protecting my family, you know, from a bunch of groups that are trying to attack me and my family? Or do I want to wait 20 minutes for the cops to show up? I'm sorry. I'd laugh at stuff sometimes because I find it so absurd and I can't stand to try to do it with a straight face. I mean, no offense, guys. You know, we don't call 911 around here unless it's, you know, unless we're going to call the police to try to figure out what happened, you know, why these people got shot trying to break into our house, if that ever happened, God forbid. The point is, it's ridiculous to think you're going to wait around for 30 or 40 minutes for the police to show up and that's something that's going to be okay. It's not okay. If somebody's about to rape you and your women and your family or whatever, and there's 40 or 50 of them and you can't deal with all of it, and the biker gang wants to protect you, hey, Austin, I'm going with the biker gang. How about you?
Yeah, for a 150 round arm attack saw drum works pretty good too. In other news as well, the Philadelphia police officer, you guys have him in his prayers, he was shot and seriously wounded in a full blown ambush style attack while sitting in his patrol car. The shooter admitted to committing the assault in the name of Islam now. He basically walked up to the cop who was in the car and just unloaded on him with 13 rounds out of a handgun. There's a video of it online if you want to watch it. It's kind of rough, but I'm just letting you know. But again, you know, he did this in his little holy jihad on a police officer who was doing nothing, was sitting there in his patrol car, just sitting there. Walked up to him and just unloaded on him. And again, this is the style of behavior that we're seeing. This is in Philadelphia, guys. This wasn't in Germany. This is in Philly. And, you know, we're seeing this more and more. That's why I told you guys a couple days ago. You guys really need to make sure you're having substantial situational awareness. When you go places, when you go to malls, when you go shopping, when you go get gas, when you're at rest areas, know what's going on around you. Don't just be living in your iPhone, walking around, not knowing anything that's going on around you. Keep an eye on everything that's in your area at all times.
And you know what's crazy about this, Oz? Our commander-in-chief, Barry Sorto, the Hawaiian, Kenyan, whatever he is, Obama, Barack, Hussein, I don't know what he is, okay? He basically knows this is going on, that these Muslims are coming over here and doing this, and he wants to take our guns. I mean, on top of everything else, he wants to take our guns. Here's a police officer with a gun, just gets himself shot, okay?
Yeah.
And, I mean, what chance did he even have when somebody snuck up on him like this? I mean, who sneaks up on police and starts shooting into patrol cars? These guys, they're all a bunch of, well, they're jihadists is what they are. They want to create as much terrorism and as violence as they possibly can to overthrow the great state in the United States. And quite frankly, guys, like I told you guys a few weeks ago, we went over there and we bombed them all back to hell and to rubble back. It's ridiculous what we did to them for absolutely no reason. They didn't do anything to us under the guise of our Rothschild slave masters because we become a fiefdom of the Rothschild banking cartel, including our great military and armament. It's ridiculous. And so we did all of this stuff for more oil and more money for these greedy people that want nothing but power and to enslave the people of this planet. And now we bring these people that we bombed to oblivion back to the United States and say, oh, be good American citizens now. Forget that we killed your entire family, your mother, your brother, your sister, your uncles, your cousins, and your children. Be nice to us because we like you here. That's complete nonsense. They're being brought brought over here to do exactly what they're doing, son. And that's why we have to stand in the aggregate. We have to stand as people in America who are concerned citizens and say, hey, wait a minute, we've got to stop this nonsense. And we've got to tell the truth. And the only person on the campaign trail that's telling the truth is Donald Trump and Rand Paul. Everybody else is obfuscating all of this, son. Period.
Oh, yeah, you're spot on. And in other news, too, sadly enough, as we see all this happening, we also see our United States Armed Forces being essentially melted down and just to a pile of nothing now, with Obama trying to make them as, you know, subservient and as weird as he can. New orders now. Marine Corps is now ordered to make job titles gender neutral. They are also under direct orders to integrate both male and female recruits at boot camp training, and must alter job titles to adopt a more gender-neutral tone by April. Guys, this isn't the Boy Scouts. This isn't even the Coast Guard. This is the United States Marine Corps. This is pitiful. I'm sorry, but this is an absolute egregious act. This is ridiculous. It states in here, in it, please review the position titles throughout the Marine Corps and ensure that they are gender-integrated as well, removing man from their titles, and provide a report to me as soon as practical and no later than April 1st, 2016, so that it is included in the rest of the integration effort. An anonymous Navy officer told the Marine Corps Times the integration will not affect iconic titles like infantrymen or riflemen, but when the word man appears as a separate word, that name will have to be changed. And on top of that, now they will be integrating male and female boot camps and Paris Island, which is interesting to me. I don't know how they're going to do that as far as sleeping arrangements, showers, because specifically now they are completely separate. So I don't know if they're just going to be mixing them in together. It's going to be, you know, open showers like in, you know, Starship Troopers. I don't know. I don't know where this is going, but it's pretty weird now. They have to get the word man out of anything that is not necessary in the Marine Corps. It's pretty sad, actually.
Well, gosh. Okay, I know some big women, okay, bodybuilding women, basically, who could probably run in the Marines pretty good, carry their own packs, etc. But, you know, these girls are all shot up with testosterone and steroids and growth hormone and everything else. And I guess what they're trying to do, Austin, is just make it so that they can basically just gut the core. And I think the word that you said that I chuckle about, pitiful, that kind of sums this whole thing up. It's pitiful. It's pitiful that the core, I mean, this is the first in, last out. These are the guys that hit the beaches. These are the guys that are the bad ones. I mean, these are the soldiers. These are the Navy SEALs, for gosh sakes. I mean, these are the real dudes here, okay? You know, now they got to worry about trying to take care of a girl in the trenches with them or whatever, if it goes to that, which it probably will. But again, this is what the globalists want to do. Now, I'm not saying that women can't serve in the military. I'm not even saying they can't serve as combat. But there's a certain places where they simply can't do something physically, like carry an 80-pound rucksack around all day. I mean, it's just, there's certain things that just that aren't going to work. And so we just have to be aware of that. And I mean, the women's liberation movement, I mean, I was around when all this started, guys. Remember, I was born in the 50s. It hasn't been a benefit as far as I'm concerned for most women. It really hasn't. I mean, women are all now working. They're in the workplace. And I'm not saying that there aren't CEO women who can do a better job than men. I'm not saying that, because there are. That's been proven. You know, I don't think Carly Floridino was one of those, or whatever her name was, that candidate run for the White House. But the point is, but there are some really good CEOs that are women, and some really good women attorneys, and a lot of really good women positions. I got that. You know, but overall, you know, we got to try to maintain this nuclear family, what's left of it, of the United States. And it's sad because it's completely falling apart around us, Austin. And you know, and we're doing everything we possibly can to promote it. But the agenda of the globalists is not to have that. They want a unisex. They don't even want men or women. Look at what they've done with Bruce Jenner now. Now, Bruce Jenner wants to be a man again, and they're basically not even giving him any publicity because now he wants to be a man again.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't hear that. That tells you, really?
Well, that's what I read now. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. I don't know Bruce Jenner. But, I mean, he probably finally started realizing. He probably had a moment of clarity. He's probably raised as a Christian, got all caught up in all this weird Kardashian weirdo mess, and now he finally realizes, hey, you know, I don't really want to do this. I mean, gosh, he was a decathlete, for heaven's sake, won a gold medal, and you know, and he's running around in dresses and high heels, and then everybody's supposed to say how good looking he is. Well, I got a newsflash for you. He's not a good looking woman. I got to tell you that. I mean, whether you think he is or not, he's not. And it just is what it is. What's your name? Anyway, I lead to a story, Austin. We're almost out of time. Here's another good one. The Saudi is devaluing their currency again, it looks like. Maybe. The odds are the highest in 20 years. The kingdom is now likely to move into a default, like more likely to default than Portugal. This is crazy because of the oil prices, because they're so extended out there. I mean, did they ever not talk about just not building palaces that covered acres and maybe saving some money?
That's an idea.
I mean, you know, how many palaces that are 10 acres or more do you really need? This is from Zero Hedge. The market is getting worried that the Saudi is about to careen into a crisis, as Bloomberg notes. 12-month forward contracts for the Riyal climbed 260 points to 950 as of 3:49 in Riyadh, set for the steepest close since December 96, reflecting growing speculation the world's biggest oil exporter may allow its currency to slide against the dollar for the first time since 1986. That'll be good because that'll make oil even cheaper for us. Saudi Arabia, which is not really good for commodities, but it'd be good as far as at the pump. Saudi Arabia, which entered 2015 with virtually no debt and an FX reserve chest that had almost $750 billion, is basically broke. I mean, how do you lose $750 billion with your lifestyle in less than a year? I don't understand that. I don't understand that. But I mean, I guess that's all those cars they had in Germany, Austin. They just can do whatever
that's
they want.
That's not
to
even
do.
The cars at that point, man. You're talking about jets. You're talking about
palaces.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. What's the next story, bud?
Oh yeah. Well, one thing I did want to go on, because I was on the Marine Corps thing, I forgot to mention. You know, the whole aspect of females being in an infantry role is all good and gravy on paper, and it sounds awesome. But, you know, I've had multiple friends that have been, you know, in military infantry roles in the Marine Corps. You know what I mean? Especially in small squadrons, they're usually issued a SAW, which is an M249 556 belt fed, or even sometimes an M240, which is a 308 belt fed. This is infantry. They are rucking this around by foot. And majority of the time on those men, from what I've been told, with rucksacks, body armor, ammo, weapon, helmet, water, they're usually upwards of 160 to 150 pounds of total gear weight, not including the person. So unless we have some really, really substantial women going into infantry, I don't really understand how, you know, 110, 120-pound woman is going to be able to ruck around a 160-pound stack. These guys can hardly do it half the time. And, I mean, they're hardcore trained Marine Corps infantrymen. And a lot of these women now think it's all good and gravy. That's not fun. I've never talked to one person that came back from infantry or the sandbox over there that said, oh, it was a blast walking around in the heat all day, carrying around 160 pounds. It absolutely sucks. That's what they all told me. They said it's horrible. So I don't know why these women are so bent on anyways on even trying to get into infantry levels. It's not anything that's... It's not fun. I mean, it's a serious, serious job description to partake. But I figured I'd put that as a little side note on there because I didn't elaborate on that.
Guys, we love you. I hear more music. We love you. We appreciate you. We'll be live again on Sunday night. Got a lot of new information to cover. Got a lot of great stuff to cover, actually, on Sunday night. And, you know, we appreciate you. Again, we love you. Thank you for supporting HealthMasters.com. HealthMaster.com. You can sign up for a free newsletter. And just let us know if we can help you. And thank you for your support. God bless.
You guys have a wonderful night. Have a blessed weekend.